Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Faber sitting in, as usual.
Yes, sir.
What's up? Well, the phone lines have been red hot, and I mean, you and I are not fishing the greater, and it's like, dude, which is cool.
I'm all about giving it. I mean, I'll give it. I mean, it's bait. It's gonna move, and we all found that out today.
Yeah, we did.
So, here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All I could do is point you in a direction.
And you know what? The kingfish bite has been the exact same way. Here today.
Monday and.
On Monday.
Monday was incredible.
Monday was amazing. Yep. I turned to go north, and you caught bait and went to go east. And before you could get very far east, I had one on the beach. I was like, Scott, you might want to just turn around and come back in here. And for a while, it was you and I.
That was it.
And then it was, obviously there was other charter captains and stuff, and it ended up being about 10 or 12 boats in there. But, oh, what a bite. What a bite of kingfish.
You didn't know which way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the original thing is the day before. I mean, the cobia.
Yeah, the cobia bite is
on fire. A lot of short fish,
right?
But there's a lot of good fish. And with that being said, I'm talking fish up to maybe 30 pounds.
Right.
But it's always fun when you drag up 10 or 12 fish behind the back of the boat, and you're going, look, and it looks like a school of mahis behind the back of your boat. You get a little excited even though they're shorts. You're just trying to look out for that one, you know, that's legal. But
so on one shoulder you got the little beach angel going turn around
I hope I don't regret this. I spun that thing around and I went, okay, I'm coming back. I was 3 miles away from you.
And your first fish
was
a 40-pounder.
A 39 that I weighed in, and little Barrett, he's just turned 11 years old. The biggest fish he had before that was a 10-ounce bluegill. So. Kid fought it all by himself.
Yep.
You know, and he's getting to the point of tired, almost tears.
Right.
Dad. I said, nope. That ain't going to happen.
Right.
So, kept the boat. Folks, we want you to catch the fish, especially I watched that fish skyrocket on my long rigger, and I watched that fish come all the way out of the water. Explicitive. Right. Wow, what a big fish.
Right.
I mean, I saw the hole. She came out of the water.
Right.
And I knew when he ate, I said, this is him. I said, which one? It's his bear's birthday. Let him catch it. No problem. And you just got to keep the boat tight.
Yeah.
You know, they get tired after a while. Because, I mean, when that fish hit eight, Kevin, you know this for as many years you've been doing it too. We're talking straight east, 250 yards. Pull all the gear up. Skitching across top of the water. Here's the rest of the pogies.
Right.
Because you got to go.
Yeah.
And we raced them down. I knew the fish ate well because I watched the fish eat the bait, and it was, I mean, all the hooks were gone. And I just let him stay tight. I said, are you getting tired? Well, yeah, Cap, can he slow down? No problem. I take the boat, throw it in reverse every now and again, so the fish would just keep a bend in the rod. I'd give him a minute or two to relax. And, yeah, we fought the fish for a long time, about 45, 50 minutes. So, I mean, but it was all cool. It was a good thing.
Yeah, man, that's what we do it for.
But, gosh, like you said, I mean, 20-pounders just skyrocketed on baits. Oh. My prop wash bait got probably eaten 10 or 12 times.
Yeah, but going back to our point, it's funny because I think we ended up with 16 fish that day on the beach. And I didn't have anything huge. I had a couple, 24s, 25s, and so fired up to go back the next day, and man, I go out the North Cut. I throw the net one time. Yep. It was out there in 20 feet of water, and everybody was kind of having a hard time, but we talk about our nets. It's not me.
Right.
It's the net.
Yep.
And I went straight right back to where we had left them the day before. And got in 37 feet of water, and something just huge eats my prop wash bait. And I knew what it was. It's jack, you know. Yeah. So fought it for however long we normally fight jacks, which is...
till we get tired. Yeah, or the yeah, tired, yeah, gets tired, yeah,
20 to 30 minutes.
Pin them down.
And so I spun back around in there, put them back out. By that time, Captain Rob Bennett, Captain Steve Cascio, our neighbor Joe, we were all in there. Yeah. And dude, we fished for, a solid hour. And if it was just me, I may have stayed a little longer. But when you got all those other guys in there and nobody had a bite, mm-mm, not a bite. I had two more jack bites and I pulled away from them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all of us, we all went separate ways.
You gotta go.
Yep. I ended up having a great day. You know, mm-hmm, I had to pop off, 10 miles offshore. Yep. And
I caught some cobias. I popped on out there to our normal stuff.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of, and I didn't go to the cobia spot because I know how crowded it is.
Oh, there was six of us, but it's all charter captains. We all know how to work together, and we all make turns, and But yeah, man, the sharks out there though. Oh my gosh! They're eating cobias. I got one cobia got eaten in half by a shark. I've never heard of that. That usually doesn't happen.
Offshore, on Monday. Yeah, Monday. Because we fished the beach on Tuesday. Offshore on Monday, my last two bites were doubleheader of jacks. I was 10 miles offshore. 25, 30-pound jacks. Got eaten.
I know.
Eaten!
There ain't no sacrificing out there. And you hook them up and fight them too long. My first two bites got eaten.
Yeah.
And I was, it was trying to be nice.
This way last summer, remember?
Yep. And I said, guys, we're going to have to pin them. And I think I lost the first eight fish because I just had drag, not tightened all the way down, but I had a way tighter than what we would normally catch a kingfish with just to try to get them to the boat.
Sure.
And I pulled a lot of hooks, but, I'd rather pull a hook and let them swim away than, let them get devoured by one of them stupid sandbar sharks.
Those things are ferocious,
dude,
man.
Can you imagine? Incredible.
Incredible. All right, let's go talk to Chris. He either wants a snapper report or he's going to give us a snapper report.
I'll give you a snapper report. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
All right, so we went out to 42. We went out 42 miles, got on some snapper, and I just heard y'all talk about the sharks. It's the first time in a long time. We lost some big snapper to some big sharks, and we lost one that right by the boat that probably went 28 pounds when it was whole, and it just... Right as we went to go net it, the damn shark came out from underneath the boat. It had to be 9 foot long and just took everything but the damn head. And we lost some other rigs on the way up. And I said, let's get the hell out of here. And I talked to another buddy that, he got eaten up. We jumped out to about 48 miles. We whacked out about 24 mangoes, had them up behind the boat, got a good sniff of those, went and got our limited B-liner. And then I was like, we're too short on our limited red snapper. I came all the way back in. The 14 miles up off the beach, 86 foot of water, and chummed up a big ass school right behind the boat. And everybody in the boat's looking at me like, why did we just go all the way out there? And I was like, when I pulled up on the spot, it's not a public number, but I know enough boats know it. And there wasn't a single boat on it.
Wow, that's rare.
It was as rare as I thought. And then I looked at the mark and I'm like, these fish look really like unnailed. Anchored up, and I threw one jig down the water, and I was like, just kind of like turned my head to talk to my brother about throw a handful of chum. Line goes spinning out of my hand, set the hook, 17 pound snapper, up he comes, and here comes the whole damn school. And
wow.
He sat there and just stroked fish, not a single shark, all 15 to 17 pound snappers. And I'm looking all over the place, and this boat's kind of like coming by me, and it's a dad and like three kids, and I wave them on over, and I let them tie off to my back cleat.
Oh, and that's awfully cool of you.
That's cool.
And he was like, what is going on? I'm like, man, just tie off and just flat line. And we had him up between, we had him between the boats and then off the back of his boat. And we stayed there and obviously he had his limit. And they caught it. I'm like, hey, I'm going to pull my anchor. And we both went back into the conch house. And it was just good, but it was neat. It was interesting to talk to you and hear what you said about the sharks because I've never been that sharked up before.
Yeah. It was the same way last year.
Worse.
Yeah, even it was even worse last year. You're right. But right now it's those
They're called sandbar sharks, and Chris, what they are, they're not like a regular shark, like a hammerhead or you know, just has one row of teeth.
Yeah, okay? They look like a mako.
They look like a mako. They got teeth coming. They got like three sets of teeth, and they got them going in and out. So whenever they grab something, it's just a shake, 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 and it's over with. So
now,
I
didn't mean to interrupt you. 2 years ago, did you ever make it? I know your boats don't have it, but did you ever go out to the dry dock 2 years ago and see the still use the sandbars at the dry dock?
No, but I have been commercial fishing on that years and years and years ago, and that always we would chum up the mangoes and get the mangoes going this time of year, and all of a sudden they would show up, and you're over, because of course anybody that knows how to mango fish, I mean it's all basically kingfish gear, you know, and you run 30-pound fluorocarbon. You're not running that heavy, because of course they'll see it. Sometimes you got to drop down to 20. Little hooks and all that. So it's almost a beefed up situation of yellowtail fishing like you do in the Keys. So immediately, as soon as he eats on top, he's going straight to the bottom. But you have a beefy enough rod that you can slow him down. But once they make that turn and go down, if you don't immediately turn that mango's head, he's gonna be lunch for some great man in a gray suit.
We saw I was on the Endless Summer with Billy. And this was 2 years ago, and we were out there with some of my clients, and you know how they get the big school of jacks out there for their spawning aggregation is what I think they're doing out there. We watched hundreds of sharks pack up and shower 20 to 40 pound Jack Crevel like they were mullet. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen and the scariest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. And Billy was like, don't fall overboard. Don't. And I ran up to the bridge. What I saw on the bridge, it was like looking behind a shrimp boat, but everything was on steroids.
Wow.
And we watched National Geographic. Guys are trying to take videos with their phones, but I'm like, does anyone have a really good camera? Because this is something I want to post. And we watched it for an hour, and it was mayhem. It was beautiful, but it was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. Everything was 8 to 10 foot and just destroying fish.
Yeah, nature's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
it's beautiful.
I mean, when you see stuff like that on the ocean. All right, Chris, we got to take a break. Hey, thank you
Thanks,
much for the report, man.
Absolutely. One last thing, if you all can get to later in the show. I've never seen this many small cobia. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I'll let you guys go. I love your show.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Chris, see you. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott, and I'll be right back. Man, I can see the lights.
School's out and the night's rolling. The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Well, I'm glad Chris called and talked about snapper season, because you and I, we're so in tune right now with king fishing and tarpon fishing and red fishing and stuff like that. I mean, neither one of us snapper fished.
I did. I fished Saturday.
Oh, you did go Saturday. That's
right.
On somebody else's boat.
I went on somebody else's boat.
Right.
I went on Gary's boat.
Did you catch a limit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
They're all like 12 to 15 pound fish. And again, just like Chris said, I went to not a published number. It's a plane engine that I got. 17.3 miles from the sea buoy. Nobody was around when I snuck up there.
Right.
And I'm not – they never had them in the top of the water. It took a few minutes to get them going, barely marked, because it's one of those kind of spots that can sand over in the summer, but, you know, be big in the winter. And I pulled up there and so caught a bunch of pogies that morning. So I just got out there on the back of the boat with a pair of snips and started snipping.
Yep.
And it's so cool to watch the bottom machine.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. And then all of a sudden you start seeing little dippy-doos coming up, and you go, wait a little bit longer. And then all of a sudden it just goes to mark, and it's like, hello. So, yeah. So I made five drops. I caught my four snaps, 12 to 15 pounds, ran back in to the party grounds. I said, well, I mean, it's only 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, we left the dock at 8. I said, it's only 9 o'clock, so what do y'all, you know, I'm going to drag around a little bit and play with these. So – caught two cobia, one which was legal, not by much, 35, 36 inches. Had a smaller one and caught like a dozen mackerels, released them, and back at the dock before 11:30. Day was over.
And before, we, you know what? As a matter of fact, let's bring up Chip because we'll get him in on this conversation. What's up, Chip?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, if you heard Chris's question, maybe you didn't, but there's
Mark,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's like there were guys in the last 3 or 4 or 5 days that have caught more cobia than they have kingfish, and they're all short. You know, I mean, some of them are having to move away from the cobia to go try to catch kingfish because there's so many cobia around. And it's, I guess Chris's question was, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I got to think this is a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're right there. They're 29 to 32-inch fish, what they look like to me, the ones that I've caught, you know, the few I caught Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, they're not huge. They're just right Sounds there. Like they're borderline.
What's that, Chip?
Sounds like a healthy fishery to me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know.
You got all the small fish, so.
Yeah.
Whenever during the summertime, during this time of year, we start catching those literally 6, 7, 8-inch redfish, you know?
And
that's always, you know, we're always like, cool, you know, good spawn.
Yep.
You know, they're –
And they're so ravenous, too. Those little
my gosh, they
dude,
are.
They're so much fun to catch.
Yeah, I know.
They pull like a 20-inch fish.
But I'll be honest with you, Chip. I know we're having, you know, it's a little colder water temp, which always brings the cobia either back to the surface or back inshore a little bit. And, you know, we'll catch them this time of year, but I don't know that we've ever seen this number of small fish, you know. I can tell you, no, I've never seen anything like the number of small fish, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome to have that many small fish in. You know, it's funny, down when we fished Canaveral last weekend, didn't see one cobia. But they were caught around us, but we never saw one, which I was really surprised. But
yeah, how was that 80-foot Spencer?
A 70. It was beautiful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you think?
Beautiful boat. The captain was incredible on it, too. I mean, he knew what he was doing. And we limited out on that boat. There were 20 people on that boat. So.
You should have seen him stand on the back deck. I couldn't find Chip. I don't know where he was. I think he was
20 people.
Oh, dude, the back deck was completely. They have, it's a three-tier back deck. Okay, you got the regular deck. Then it has a second deck. Then the third deck is where all the couches and stuff are. They had them stacked in there, dude, like cordwood. It was hysterical. They were all holding up 15, 20-pound snappers. I got to show you the picture. I got the picture on my phone. Oh,
the funny part, Kevin, was it was never like. The whole day, there was no crowd because people were either up on the helm, inside, or in the pit or out on the deck. You know, it was crazy how comfortable it was.
At the bar.
Yeah. Oh, was the night before
absolutely.
And the night after. Yeah.
Well, no, they had the bar set up on the boat, all kinds of food put out. You know, it was crazy. I mean, we ran out at like 45 knots. You know, and it was insane. And
was for lunch? Did you cut roast beef and ham and lamb shank and all that kind of stuff?
They had sushi. There was smoked salmon out. There was tons of different kinds of sandwiches. I mean, all kinds of chicken, fixing. I mean, it was crazy. You know, it was
rough life.
I'm like,
you got there, Cap.
I can get used to that again so easily. But,
Hey, listen, have you fished the ditch at all this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a good day today. I've had good days all week.
Good.
The water got warm. It got real warm. It was a little dirty in the valley today. But the bite was good. We had some nice trout, real nice redfish. The bite was early on the redfish with the tide. As soon as the tide swung and it started creeping up, it was done. But then, you know, we moved out in the intercoastal and started catching fish in the ditch. But, you know, I fished, had 3 nice bull reds on a quick trip on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Fished midday on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. I've never seen it that hot. the bite was a little sluggish.
Yeah.
I think I had boiled shrimp within an hour in my bait bucket.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a strong bite, a good bite. But it's one of those things where if you're not on the tide, you're not going to get the bites on the reds. And what you said about small fish, is I found several areas that are loaded with those rats again. You know, every cast, you know, you can just take a little teeny piece of shrimp, throw it in there, they're going to be hooked up immediately, which I'm happy about that, obviously, because it makes me feel like our fishery's doing really well. So,
yeah.
And we had a couple nice flounder, too. So it's been a good bite, you know. And
throwing mostly live shrimp?
Live shrimp is what I was using. I used crack crab today, too. And the funny part about the crack crab today was as soon as it hit the water, there was a redfish eating it. I mean, it did not take much time at all fishing oyster bars. You chug a piece of crack crab up in front of it, and it was gone almost instantly. So, and shrimp were getting eaten. There was a lot of croakers around. You know, I still have not caught a mangrove, but there's a lot of croakers around. There was, you know, a lot of little puppy drum, black drum, that is. And, you know, but the big fish were crashing everywhere. You could see them. It was awesome.
Yeah, I've had some pretty good reports from the St. John's River there, Chip. I'm happy about that because the last 2 years it's been just, you know, almost unfishable because it's been so dead, you know.
Yeah.
I've had some good shrimp reports, bait shrimp.
Yeah.
You know?
I do want to go out there, though,
yeah.
Me and you. When it gets to be August, September, and stuff like that, if we got a day off, we'll take the boat.
Yeah.
Go shrimping.
Yeah, go shrimping, absolutely. But, yeah, so I think we're going to have a good year. I think we're going to have a good shrimping year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we'll discuss it as, you know, we get into middle of August and closer to September. But all the signs are pointing up right now, Chip.
Yeah, the river, I was really surprised that the river is turning on like it is right now.
Yep.
After last year, you know, I mean, if those big yellow mouths show up again like they have for the last or a few years before that, that'll make me really happy because they were huge fish, mm-hmm. you know, 4 to 6 pounders schooled up. So we'll see if that happens. But
yeah.
But the bull reds aren't hurting at all. They're there. So
even in the dirtier water.
Yep, I was really surprised. You know, I've been adding fish bites, the big strips.
Yep.
Like I'll put a whole crab on, and if I add a fish bite strip to that rig, that's the bait that gets bitten every time. Mm. So I started using the crab and the clam, mixing them together in strips, and using just those to start to catch them. I'm going to get to where I will never use another whole crab. So, you know, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be loving not having to go buy blue crabs and drop down fish bites and catch those big bulls. So,
are you, when you buy those fish bites like that, are you buying them like in the sheets and then cutting them?
No, they come in long strips. I'm hoping to get some of the sheets, but they come in long strips that look like bubble gum. You know, they're
okay.
Probably, I don't know, 10, 12 inches. And then
right.
I'll cut like a 5-inch, 6-inch strip and fold it in half. And
yep.
Put one clam and one clam, one crab, and then send it down, and it holds up. I mean, it holds up real well.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I mean.
So you need to do like a little outdoor show research, and just put the strip down there.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I did that twice. Caught two monsters that way. Just the strips.
Just the strips. Okay. All right. That's cool.
So,
That amazing technology, the fish bites. It's that's
you taking pictures.
Some really weird stuff, but it works.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I talked to Terry and them when I was there at ICAST and stuff like that, and yeah, come on by. I'll give you stuff. I said okay. So
it works.
It works.
There's no doubt. Chip, thanks, buddy.
You got it. You guys have an awesome week.
Yeah, man.
Bye,
We've already had an awesome week. Real quick before we take a break, forecast, as in the weather forecast. Tonight, southwest 10 to 15. And, folks, they've been calling southwest 10 to 15 all week, and it ain't been. I mean, it hadn't been 2 to 5,
uh-uh.
As in wind. I mean, the ocean's been a lake. Tomorrow, south winds 10 to 15. Saturday, south-southwest 5 to 10. Wow, what a day that is. And then Sunday, south winds 10 to 15. Monday, south winds 10 to 15, and no more than 2 to 3 feet of seas. Tuesday, south at 5 to 10. So the ocean's just going to be beautiful for a while.
Yep.
And the water temperature just seems to be it's hanging around that 79, 80
yep.
degrees, you know,
yep.
because we have been getting a southeast sea breeze.
We have.
It hasn't been much.
Nope.
But it's been enough to fight the thermocline.
Correct.
Or the upwelling, the whatever upwelling. You want to call it.
We haven't had that much rain on the coast.
We've had no rain, dude.
So that's the biggest. That helps a lot, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Know, I mean,
outside of a southeast breeze is how come the water's cool.
Water my lawn.
No, that's my dude, yeah. Yeah.
641-1010, 641-1010. Give Captain Scott and I a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shack, always in here with my good buddy, Captain Kevin Favor. Leon, we can bring Leon up
because yeah,
we need to remind him of this. It's always every Thursday night from 7 to 8 unless you hear different.
Yep.
So always listen to us. Real quick, I gotta get it over with.
Okay.
I had an issue on Tuesday.
You did?
Coming home. Thank goodness I had already finished my day, but I lost my lower unit, which to any of us in the middle of our season like we are right now is just probably the worst thing that can happen outside of blowing your engine.
Yep.
Thank you to Whalen Bay, BJ, Chad, Jacob, Cody. I pulled up there Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock because you know I got towed in.
Yep.
And I pulled up there at 3 o'clock and I had four guys on the boat at one time. And they ripped it all apart, ordered it that afternoon, and I got a text at 4:30 and I'm back in the game, boys.
Mine's not near as severe as yours, but yesterday, right in the middle of my charter, you know, I kind of look back there, and my baits are a little weak. I'm going, oh crap!
Yep,
my pump's out.
Yep,
you know, so I got that. I mean, in Leon, when you're 10 miles offshore, and it's not like you're going to run back in and catch more pogies. So I grabbed a scoop, put them in my front well.
Yep,
you know, and absolutely gorgeous day yesterday. Had an awesome day of fishing. And, you know, got within phone range and called Chad and BJ and said, hey, look, my live well pump went out. I've got to clean some fish. I'll be in there about an hour, hour and a half. And they're like, we're like, dude, we got a pump literally sitting on the desk. Well, I pulled in there. They're like, bada bing, bada boom. See you later.
The funny thing was, I came off the highway.
We talk about this so much.
Yep.
About their attention to detail, especially when it comes to maintenance and everything else. Those guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. So anyway,
I never laid on the brakes. The gate was opening as I was coming off of 207.
Yeah, good people.
I mean, they're great people.
Yep, they truly are. What's up, Leon?
They are truly the NASCAR of the nautical world.
That's a good point. I mean, seriously, you pull in there, man, it's like zing, 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 zing. Yep.
It was great.
Yep.
That's great service right there. That speaks volumes. Absolutely.
Well, there's other great mechanics and stuff around,
right.
but
sure.
for our relationship with those guys, I mean, and you know, Leon, the one thing, and I we'll get off this subject, but those guys have been working for Whalen Bay for a long time.
Well, since they opened up the little tiny shop on the north side of town.
You know what I mean?
So, 10 or 12 years?
Yeah.
You don't see turnover there at all.
Right.
They retain.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff.
It is good stuff. How's your week been?
Fishing-wise, I've only been out twice. Otherwise, I have been sick as a dog this past week. And, I mean, talk about a summertime flu, cold, whatever you want to call it. It wiped me out, but that's besides the point. Been out twice this week, like Chip said. You know, I hit the water this morning, and it was 89.9 degrees when I started this morning, the water temperature. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it kept going up today in the valley. water temperature, I mean, clarity, it's not the best, but, you know, it could be worse. You know, fishing in the valley, you know, you get sawgrass and DDoT that pumps water out, you know, into the valley. So, you know, I'll take for what we have. Just like Chip said, you know, I owe Chip a big, big thank you this morning. You know, we split up like we always do. And I started probably around marker 10. He went down towards south of Pine Island, started fishing. And the first hour, we both started at 6 a.m., you know, and we do our game plan of what we're going to do. And I call him after an hour and I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm hooked up on my third. And I go, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And as soon as I pulled up, bam, 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 it was on for us too. Thank God. Because, I mean, I was shooting nothing there in the beginning. I just couldn't put anything together where I thought they'd be. Using just shrimp and jigs. It's working for me. I didn't have any crab. Chip did much better than I did. But at the end of the day, I had four nice redfish to fillet for my clients. So that put a smile on the father-daughter team.
Hey, have you thrown the cast net for shrimp at all? I mean, you like in the grass just to try to catch bait shrimp?
No, I haven't. And the reason why I don't really throw for shrimp up against grass is because in the valley there's a lot of oysters around the grass.
I get it.
So,
but there's places to catch bait shrimp.
Yes, there is. You and I both know where they are. I don't even have to hide it. People know where the deep holes are at Pine Island. You're right.
Well, I'm not talking about Pine Island. I'm talking about the edge of the ditch. I mean, I used to catch them right there at 15 all the time.
Yeah, I could do that. I have not honestly tried it. I am seeing a lot. You know, this past week, honestly, I did not go back into the back creeks. But the week before, I did see a lot of popping shrimp. And they were bigger than popcorn shrimp. But they were too small for bait size. But they were that tweener size.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, they're definitely growing. And you know, as long as we don't get a washout hurricane, we won't get washed out of shrimp. And it should be a good year, I suspect, in the usual area.
I think it's going to be an awesome year.
Uh-huh.
But like you said, Leon, barring any kind of freak nature.
Tropical storm, hurricane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah.
A deluge,
yep.
Right. We can't take that kind of rain. It'll wash them out, unfortunately. I will say, you know, Chip mentioned something earlier today. I mentioned to my clients, it's been way over a year since I've caught my first mangrove snapper, and we caught one today. I mean, he was a dinky little thing, but I was like, oh, my God, there is one out here. I mean,
isn't that weird?
Did you see my Comanche Cove there today?
Uh-oh.
They're at Comanche. They just showed up at Comanche Cove.
Just showed up in July?
Uh-huh. Almost, I mean, I've seen a couple of good ones sitting there right there by the fuel dock right there.
Right.
But where have they been over a year?
I don't know. I caught one so far, and I think I caught that one back in the middle of April.
Yeah, it's just strange.
It's cyclical. There's no question it's cyclical. I mean, we don't catch mangrove snapper every year here.
No.
No. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I had this conversation with our good buddy Scotty Brown, fish biologist, you know, blah blah blah, about the specks in my pond.
Ooh, and he's like, God, it's
I know, me too. He said it's totally cyclical. You know, 1 year you're going to catch them and you're going to catch the heck out of them, and the next year you're going to say, well, what the heck? And we're talking about a 5-acre pond,
right?
You know, and so it's
they're
going
somewhere.
On at least 2, if not 3 years that we've caught mangoes.
They're not like redfish and trout.
Oh, okay.
And black drum, you know what I'm saying? Well, they're basically, I mean, you could say 365, as in they're here 365 days a year. Where mangrove snapper, not that way. And mangrove snapper don't spawn inshore.
That's what this is my next thing that I was going to bring up. I mean, do we know that even a 16, 18-inch fish is not a spawning fish? We still know it's a juvenile.
Right.
So somehow currents or whatever has to place them, because really for the most part, 10-12 miles offshore is really where
right.
you're going to at
right,
least,
right.
but even that being said, he's not going to be 18-19 inches.
I
25 miles is probably where the studs are.
How the eggs get in here?
How the eggs get in here?
I don't know.
Is it current then? If we have too much west, that's why we don't see mangoes?
Yeah, I don't know. Do the study. You probably get paid
a lot of money. I'm too old to go back to school. Come on now.
Yeah, but we've never.
But seriously,
we've never seen a study on
mango. No, nobody ever does it. Nobody tags a mango. Nobody. I've never seen a tag study done on them.
Nope. But all I know, Leon, is that
I fillet them and I throw them in the frying pan.
Is that tonight on that full moon, there will be a bunch of boats that are mangrove fishing, and then they're going to snapper fish at dawn.
At dawn. Yep.
I would.
Yeah.
Dude, they've got to be all up in water and stuff. Can you imagine going to the dry dock? Oh my gosh!
I mean,
it'd be incredible.
If you really want to go meat fishing, mm-hmm. you go tonight. You do your.
Did you see our good friend Jason Hedges on the J-hook? Oh my gosh! I don't know, 50, 60 head.
Night fishing?
Nope. During the day.
During the day.
I mean,
wow!
Golly whoppers.
Yeah.
I mean, nice fish.
Yep.
That's what he did yesterday.
No, I mean absolutely. I know that our Captain Brian Walker mm-hmm. had a good day on him.
Yeah, he caught 4, 5, 6 nice ones.
Yep. Limited beeliners and stuff like that. So, anyway, it's a good time, Leon. It sounds like the inshore fishing is not like crazy, but it's good.
It's not crazy, but if you put in your time, you will walk away with the fish that you need. And
where's your flounders at?
I haven't fished enough this week to really target flounder, Scotty.
Okay.
I really haven't. Okay. I'll get to it, but I haven't had the time to do it. I've been too damn sick. So that's the way.
You got the Duval Street flu.
You got what?
Duval Street flu.
Oh, Duval Street flu.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, I took a week to detox my liver.
Well, have at it, buddy.
Yep.
If you play, you pay.
That's right.
I had fun for that week while we were down in the Keys, that's for sure.
You killed the immune system, though.
Gets on an airplane and gets the crud. Duh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's what he's blaming
on
anyhow.
Don't want to hear that story. So, all right, we'll let you go.
All right, guys. Take care. And have
all right, buddy.
Week.
See ya.
See ya.
He does not sound good at all.
Dude, you should have heard him 2 days ago. It was incredible. I called him I called him just to check in and see how he was doing. And they had just gone back from the Keys over the weekend. He's, just coughing into the phone. I'm going, damn, I hope this doesn't come through the phone because he was bad.
I had no voice. I know that fished with a good buddy of ours, Jeff Osborne from Ring Power this morning. He said he took his kid to daycare. He said, man, all the stuff going through the daycare right now. And then we babysat on Sunday for the grandbaby, and Carrie got sick.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's weird for this time of year, but there's a lot of weird things going on. There's small cobia.
Yep.
The bait's here one day. And
gone tomorrow.
Did we all look like just a bunch of depressed charter captains this morning?
We're
sitting there listening. I mean, there was so much chatter on that Channel 11 this morning. Are you going south? Did you find anything?
I'm just going east to jig.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going, oh, my gosh.
And let me tell you, I ran into Salt Run. By the way, folks, there was no bait on the beach today. So there was a couple schools, sound like to the south.
South of the pier.
South of the pier, but they were moving like Mach 10, hard to catch. When I went into Salt Run this morning, and it's slick calm, dude, there was nothing.
That's crazy because Tuesday afternoon when I got towed in, they were just, it was just everywhere.
And when I tell you there was nothing, I thought, okay, well, the worst I can do is go catch a dozen silvers.
Yeah.
Mullet, you know?
Yeah. Because a perfect tide this morning. Yeah. You're about an hour and a half into the low.
There was no mullet.
Really?
There was nothing in there, Scott.
Not in our mullet hole? There was nothing over there?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, and it's such a bad feeling, man.
It is.
You're like, oh my God,
because you know
you could go catch fish.
Yes. And the first boat out, when you hear the first boat go out and go, I've been driving for 8 miles now, hadn't seen but one, like maybe it was a flip. And
right.
You go, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just the worst feeling in the world. Because on what was it, Monday, Tuesday? I guess that's where it started going downhill. Was Tuesday?
No. No, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday was easy.
Was it? Well, I found it, easy. But it was way up there. But I caught it up there by the captain's house. I was the first boat to turn north. Nobody went north but me.
Yeah.
Remember that morning?
No, it was right there off the north bar.
Yeah, but you left a half an hour later than I did, and the bait showed up on the bar. I was early. I left at 7. You left at 7:30.
Yeah, and I still had a fish on before you caught
bait. That's my point.
Bait.
Right before I caught bait, you already had
Thank
a fish
goodness.
On. Thank you. But no, my point was I was going to tell Leon, because Leon made that point earlier with, you know, Chip calls him or whatever.
Yep.
I know we talk about it all the time. Doesn't matter if you're a Mayport captain or you're a St. Augustine captain. We have really, honest to gosh, the finest captains on the East Coast.
Absolutely.
Okay? We all talk to one another. Ain't none of us too proud. Now, if something's happening, I'm not going to announce it on the radio because I don't need 30 Good other hits. Boats in there with us. You know, you'll hear me tell you over the radio, call me on the phone.
Right.
And that's a good thing. If you tell me to call you on the phone, you need to call me on the phone.
Right.
I am not announcing it over that radio because, of course, it doesn't take long. Everybody's got the scan button. They have found out what channel the small boats are on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So everything's in code now.
But your point being, Captain Kirk Walt and Chad Starling came down.
Richard Bloom came down.
Yeah, they're from they fish out of Jacksonville, folks. And
they pay their tolls this morning. Thank
you. They're just all good people, man.
They are,
man. We all work together.
We do.
We all work together.
We do.
All right, take a quick break, and we got one more small segment to go here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, I'm Captain Kevin Faber, 641-1010. Give us a call. Be right back.
Red, Nick.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Kevin Faber. All right, so last Friday,
yep,
which was opening day of snapper season,
yep,
I went to bed early. On Thursday night after we got done with the show, because I'm thinking, dude, I got to get up at some ungodly hour. Mm-hmm. Last year was a joke. And now I didn't fish this weekend, snapper weekend.
Yeah, no.
And I heard it was awful. Mm-hmm. But on Friday, I get to the ramp at, you know, I got my trip doesn't leave till 7:30, and I get there at 5:30 thinking I got 2 hours to spare. And dude, I pulled right up to the ramp.
Friday wasn't nothing at all.
I mean, I pulled. I'm like, damn,
yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah,
for
what now?
Two
am I gonna
for
do?
Hours.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
And
should have called me. I would have brought you a biscuit.
Yeah. Well, the thing was is that, a lot of the boats were already out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was a smattering of, there was nobody on the ramp.
No,
nobody on the ramp. So I backed up and, you know, it launched, and now I heard. You know, Saturday and Sunday was
Sunday at 6:15. They were already on both sides of the bridge.
Yeah, and
at 6:15.
Well, and you had the Kingfish shootout
right
on Saturday. So, what's your anticipation for in the morning?
I mean, I know it's going to be busy because there is some people that still care.
Yeah.
And
you got Greater Jacks.
You got Greater Jacksonville tomorrow. I mean, and because the boat ramp this morning, I didn't think it was going to be.
I think Mayport will be a zoo.
I think Mayport will be a zoo tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there'd be enough. I mean, it's Saturday is going to be the big one. The last day, you know, that one's probably going to take the big hit.
Yeah. I got a charter on Sunday morning, and I'll bet it's dead.
I do too.
I'll bet it's dead on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy that everybody, whoever wanted to take place in it, took place.
Yeah, absolutely.
So far, I have not heard of any.
No, I haven't either.
You know, of any issues.
Yep.
Bad enough. I mean, sure, everybody gets yelling and screaming about it's their spot, but there's nothing out there that's
private.
Why
do you put your spot locked down
on my
spot? Yeah,
why do you put your spot locked down on my spot? Well, spend $2,300 and you could own one too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? I mean, so get over it. That's how I put it.
They do get mad at us for putting those things down, boy.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's...
Spend the money. Put it down there.
I mean...
Hey, when I was at, like I told you last week, when I was at ICAST, they make a 96-inch 48 volt. It can put it on a 39 yellowfin and truck on with it.
Yeah.
And it'll hold it.
Yep. I fished with a gentleman yesterday. I was a 36 yellowfin.
He's got one.
Oh, yeah. He's got one. And he said, and we're okay up to 3 foot seas.
Yep.
So he's like, dude, I ain't messing with the anchor.
No.
I'm like, no. I don't blame you. No.
They're going to, I mean, they're going to keep advancing this, I think. I mean, I'm not going to say you could put it on a 70-foot Spencer like Chip was on.
Right,
but
yeah, yeah, yeah.
My point being, they're going to kind of work on this kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, next few years, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Danforth is not
Danforth is not doing too good about this right about now. And Fortress.
Folks, thanks for joining Captain Scott and I for the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing
That's
Forecast.
Right.
Don't forget, we have the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning from 7 to 10. That'll be on, it's obviously always on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Have a great weekend. If you're going snapper fishing, be patient.
Be safe.
Enjoy your day. And if you're fishing in the Greater Jacksonville Kingfish Tournament, good luck. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.
See ya. She's going to wear the jeans.